You foolish Christians. Who's conned you? Who's deceived you? You know that Jesus Christ was crucified. You know that to be true. You know that's a fact. So I'd like to ask you something this morning. Did you receive the Spirit through following your rules and regulations? Did you receive the Spirit through religious rituals? Or did you receive the Spirit because you believed on the gospel of Jesus Christ and you responded? So why are you so foolish? Because if you receive the Spirit up front, at the beginning of your faith, then how come you're trying to earn your salvation through these rules and regulations now? Some of you are thinking, whoa, he's just coming right out the gate today, isn't he? I'll be glad when this woe is me series is over. You know, actually what I was doing, I was just paraphrasing a piece of scripture. But I wanted it to have the impact, because sometimes, and I don't know what happens or when it happens, but sometimes it's like Scripture gets this film over the top of it, or a wall, where because it's Scripture, it doesn't hit you as hard. But if you got someone talking to you, whoa, he's all over my toes. But sometimes we don't get that from Scripture. Sometimes Scripture, we don't allow it to be as poignant, as piercing as it is. Because we've done something to block it away. Sometimes maybe we think that Scripture is, it's way back there. It's so 2,000 years ago. So how can it apply to me? I mean, wasn't Paul just talking to the Galatian church? And, you know, maybe there's a couple little tidbits I can pull out of there. Or maybe God can speak to me or, you know, something. But really, he was writing to someone else. He wasn't writing to me. No, God's word is meant for you. It's meant for every one of us. And so that's why I came out of the gate like that. I was paraphrasing Galatians chapter 3, starting with verse 1. He says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I'd like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, you are now trying to attain your goal by human efforts." See, the Galatians were still hanging on to law-based theology. They were Jews or Hebrews that had been converted over to Christianity. And after a while of being into Christianity, they started to revert into these rules and regulations, these boxes, this Pharisaical living, this type of theology that we've been talking about for the past 5 weeks. See, the new covenant is about freedom. It's about faith. It's about responsibility. And they were missing it because they were trying to revert back to their old way of life before they knew God. In chapter 4 of Galatians, Paul continues this. I mean, this is a main theme throughout the book of Galatians, so it's kind of hard to get away from it. But as Paul continues these thoughts on this type of living, he says in verse 8 of chapter 4, he says, "Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves." Formerly, let's go back. Formerly, when you what? Oh, come on now, walk with me. When you did not know God. Formerly, when you, okay, is it clear? That's what it says. When you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, now that you know God, big difference. How is it that you're turning back to these weak and miserable principles? Now that you know God, how is it that you're going? How is it that you're revert? How? You've got faith. You've got freedom. You've got responsibility. How is it that you're reverting back to these miserable principles? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? You're observing special days and months and seasons and years. Very cutting words, this next verse. "I fear for you that somehow I have wasted my efforts on you." I would not want to hear those words from Paul. I would definitely not want to hear those words from God. See, it's easy to look at the Bible and say, okay, that's talking to the Galatians, that's talking to them. No, how's this talking to me? Have I tried to revert? Have I gone back to what life was like before I knew God? See, Paul's talking to the Galatians about this same subject that we've been talking about for the past 5 weeks, this idea of living like the Pharisees. And to help review, we're gonna tie all this together, and we're going to have a little bit of fun because the whole series just kind of comes together here. And we're going to do some fun drawing. I'm going to get my board back out. You guys love it when like a board comes out, don't you? You know it's all, oh, there's the keyboard. And in your bulletins, if you go on and flip your bulletins over, I have been so kind to pass on my amazing artistic ability onto you. Because those of you who might be challenged artistically, you have connect the dots this morning. Everyone, yay! Connect the dots. When Don had the younger kids in here, the 5th and 6th graders, they were sharing in worship with us this morning. I told Don, I said, they can stay. We're just connecting the dots. We're just drawing pictures. And she said, no, I've got teachers. I'm gonna be using this. So on the left side, if you turn your bulletin the way the words are going for the sermon, so it would be the bottom tree if you got it sideways. Flip it over. It's the left tree, the tree on the left. We're going to draw it first, all right? So you guys got started off with the trunk there. And then all right, mine's going to be a little sloppy. But you can just connect the dots, and you get yourself a nice little tree there. Everybody's connecting the dots. I love it. See, those of you guys who are not working right now, it either means you just threw up a quick tree and it doesn't follow the proper method for making a tree. No. You're not drawing a tree, you got to draw a tree, okay? And in this tree, we're going to look at some of the things that we have talked about in this series so far. These woe is me statements, as Jesus shared in Luke chapter 11 to the Pharisees. Woe are you, Pharisees, and then fill in a blank. And we've been taking these personally, and that's why it's been called woe is me. Woe is me, does anyone remember the first one? All the way back. Starts with an F. Fake, woe is me, I'm fake. Let's write that up here in the tree. Woe is me, I'm fake. Fake, I put a phony face on. I'm good at acting like a Christian, but really inside, it's not there. It's not real. Fake, what's the next one? Woe is me, I'm... Oh, no, that's the third one. Second one starts with an A. What? Arrogant. Arrogant. Awesome. No, Barney Stinson. Arrogant. Woe is me, I'm arrogant. And the third one was woe is me, I'm dead. Okay, so woe is me, I'm arrogant. I've got an inflated view of myself. Woe is me, I'm dead. And so dead that Jesus' implication of this was that you're so dead that inside of you is so dead that you're poisoning other people without even knowing that you're doing that. That's how dead you are, and that's a real rip from Jesus. I mean, it's, as I said, you know, throughout the series, it's Gordon Ramsay without the language. I mean, he's just letting them have it. So fake, arrogant, woe's me, I'm dead, woe's me, and this is a couple weeks ago. This one changed the kind of context of the woe is me. What was me? I am an oppressor. Oppressor. And then last week, what was me? I'm hostile. Good job. I don't feel as if I've wasted my effort on you. I don't feel like Paul towards the Galatians. So what was me? I'm fake. What was me? I'm arrogant. What was me? I'm dead. What was me? I'm an oppressor. What was me? I'm hostile. That's been our series up to this point so far. And when we chase down the trunk of the tree, we see the roots. Write roots down there. Roots. Okay, and let's draw some grass. That way we know this is underground. You like my grass, don't you? It's good. It's kind of wavy. It's kind of like the trees in the ocean. But that's all right. Art. You can't mess up art. I had an art teacher that taught me that, and I loved it. She said, you can never mess up art. So when you chase these roots down. And by the way, this tree is called the about me tree. The about me tree. And when you chase those roots down, these roots are pretty shocking. And they're roots, which means they're hard to see. They're hidden. They're under the surface. They're underground. And most of us are going to deny this. But deny it or not, the truth is the truth. And so here it is, as we chase the roots down this tree, the about me tree, the roots are that you just don't know God. Now, most of you have just swelled up on me. Who are you? Who are you to tell me that? Puffing up. You know, if I were charging to tell the future, then I could have made a killing on that, because I told you, you're going to deny it. You're not going to believe that. In fact, you're thinking that's absurd to even say that. How can you make such a claim? And my natural instinct, because, you know, I like to care for people, would be to calm down. It's going to be all right. It's just going to be just fine. There's no reason to get worked up all over all this. But I can't say that at this point, because it's not over yet. So I'm going to have to say, just stay puffed up. Stay in this stiff-necked state of denial. Because here's the final woe is me of the series. Jesus in chapter 11 of Luke is recorded saying in verse 52, "Woe to you experts of the law, because you have taken away the key to knowledge. You yourselves have not entered." Jesus says that this, you claim to know God, but you've taken away the key of knowledge of who He is. You yourselves haven't even entered into this knowledge. You claim that you know Him, but you really don't. You don't know Him. And you can look at the fruit of the tree that proves that. The five preceding woe is me statements. Woe are you Pharisees. You're fake. You're arrogant. You're dead. You're an oppressor. You're hostile. And here's where it really hits, church. Here's where you can deny the claim that you don't know God all you want. But when you look at your tree, when you look at the about me tree, and you see your fruit, and you see that your branches are full of these fruits. Woe is me, I'm fake. I've been wearing a fake Christian face. I've been a hypocrite. I pretend to be something I'm not. I have a Sunday mask. Woe is me, I'm arrogant. I have an exaggerated opinion of my importance, of my merit, of my abilities. I think that I deserve certain things. I have an entitlement attitude. Woe is me, I'm dead. And I'm so filled with dead things inside me that I poison other people without even knowing it. Woe is me, I oppress myself and I oppress others with all these rules and regulations that you have to jump through all these different hoops. I build a box and I stand in it, or I stand on it, and it empowers my arrogance even more. Woe is me, I'm hostile towards others, even my own brothers and sisters in Christ. See, we've examined ourselves in this series, and this is the fruit of our tree sometimes. And this fruit reveals that we have gone back to leaning on ourselves. We've regressed. And we've climbed the it's all about me tree. It's about me. And the tree, its roots display a life of a person who doesn't know God. Now you might say, well, I know God. The fruit doesn't reveal that. The fruit of this tree reveals the roots that you don't know God. This tree is the tree of a religious person, not a true Christian. And this is what Paul was talking about to the Galatians. He said, do you really want to go back to what you were before you what? Before you knew God. Do you want to go back to that lifestyle? Do you want to be imprisoned by that lifestyle? Because that's what you look like when you display this fruit. When you turn back to those weak and miserable principles to be enslaved by them, you climb the me tree and you miss it. You miss out on really knowing God. And that's not all. That's not even the worst part of this woe is me statement. Because I didn't finish verse 52 in Luke chapter 11. Jesus says, woe to you experts in the law because you've taken away the key of knowledge. You yourselves have not entered. And you have hindered those who were entering. That's sad. Not only do you not get it, but the lifestyle that you portray because you don't get it keeps others from getting it. And you're a shield. Woe is me, I'm a shield. Say that with me. Woe is me, I'm a shield. See, a shield in wartime is kind of a good thing back in medieval days. Just went to the Renaissance Festival this last weekend. Shields everywhere. It's supposed to protect you from arrows, hopefully. It's supposed to protect you from your opponent's sword. Or in sports, I know in soccer, you would shield the ball. If you had the ball, then you kind of, if the defender was on my left side, then I'd kind of keep it over here on my right foot. And I'd shield the ball. In basketball, it's called a what? You make a pick, don't you? I'm not a basketball player, but that's what it's called, right? Make a pick. It's a shield. Yeah, screen. It's basketball screen is also kind of more, what's a sport screens normally? Yeah, football. And who's excited about today? And there was much rejoicing. Yay. Still going to watch them. Still going to watch them. But in sports, it's a good thing to be a shield. In wartime, it's a good thing to be a shield. This is not a good thing when we're talking about being a shield and shielding others from the knowledge of God and shielding others from knowing God. That's not a positive thing for us. Because of your lifestyle, because this is what is observable by your life, by others, not only does it point to the roots of your problem that you don't know God, but it effectively shields others from knowing God also. Why? Well, because you're not doing anything that would show God to them. In fact, we need to go on and write that on there. Okay, just situated. Go on and write shield on your tree. That way we got them all. Woe is me, I'm a shield. I hear you can write it your way. I don't claim to be able to spell. So, why are we a shield? Well, it's because we're not doing anything that would show God to them. We're doing the opposite. We're shielding God from them, or shielding them from God, rather. And it's a lifestyle that's a party in the me tree. And it shows nothing about God. It's all about me. You claim to be a Christian. You attend church somewhat regularly. You don't curse or you don't smoke. Whatever your rules and regulations are that you've built up to say, well, if I stay in this box, then I'm a Christian and I'm okay. Whatever those rules are, you do that and you go away with the feeling that I know God because you're acting that way. But really, the root of the tree is that you don't know God at all. And the sad part is you're keeping others from knowing Him as well. So let's draw another tree. And this tree will try and spell things right. So I'm going to leave my tree. You guys can go on and draw your right tree. Connect the dots. La, la, la. You guys remember that? So in this tree, we'll look at the roots. And the roots of this tree, we're going to start off, is that you know God. Because it's a different tree. It's a new tree. you know God. And those are the roots. And when you follow the roots of that up the tree, then you see fruit that is the opposite of the me tree, of the woe is me statements. When you know God, and that is the roots that are the roots of your tree, the knowledge of God, really knowing who God is intimately, then instead of being fake, what are you going to be? Real. You're going to be real. Why? You don't have anything to hide. Man, you know the creator of the universe. Instead of being arrogant, how in the world can you know God and be arrogant? You're going to be what? Humble. Write that in your tree. Instead of dead, you're going to be? That was weak. Instead of dead, you're going to be?
Alive.
Yes. We need My Heart Remains to come in here and teach us how to say that. Alive. Real. Humble. Alive. Instead of oppressing people, oppressing yourself by these rules and regulations, you're going to be free. Isn't that what we were set free? We were set free from the rules and regulations. We were set free from the penalty of sin and death. Free. That's not oppressing. It's free. Instead of being hostile, you'll be what? Loving. Love God, love others. Remember? Talked about that. Can't separate them. See, in this tree, you're going to show God. Because this tree, all right, get ready. Are you ready? All right, because this is something you won't see from me very often. You won't see this from me very often at all. And this is going to shock a lot of you, and this might even shock you more than me telling you that you don't know God. Okay, I'd like to apologize for that, but I have to face that problem myself. You don't know God. Well, yeah, I do. Well, let's look at the fruit. What's on the tree? So this is almost as shocking as that. I'm going to go old school here in church. September 11th, 2011, Dusty Delafield is going to go King James. Oh, yeah. So the name of this tree is the About the Tree. King James, baby. It's the About the Tree, because that's, King James, that's God, thee and thou and all that. It's the About the Tree. It's about God. This tree is all about God, and the fruit reveals your roots. When the fruit is freedom, when the fruit is alive, when the fruit is being real, when the fruit is humble, then it's a tree that has roots that say, I know God. Because here's the fruit of my lifestyle. Because you show what you know. How can you show if you don't know? How can you know and not show? You know, so you show. That's just a fact. So if you're not showing, maybe it's because you're not knowing. I mean, that's where we are. Do people know that I'm a Christian without me telling them, without me wearing a Christian shirt, without me having Christian posters on my walls at work, Christian calendar on my desk? Do people know I'm a Christian simply because of these fruits? I'm alive, I'm free, I'm humble, I'm loving. Because those fruits show the root of that tree, and the root of that tree says, I know God, I know the man, I know him well. And when you know God, you can't help but show him. You can't hide it. Many of you have heard the term, you're out of your tree. Normally it's referring to someone that's crazy. I've heard it a few times in my life. In this sense today, it's a good thing to be out of your tree. In fact, you need to be out of your tree. You need to jump out of the me tree. And you need to start climbing the about the tree. And that's the tale of the two trees. On your bulletins there in front of you, you've got a number of scriptures that I'll include on various messages. And some of you think, you know, wow, he didn't get to any of these. No, they were really all in the inspiration. They were in the study. They were in my heart as I was preparing the message and putting the message together. And when you go there and you read them, you'll get a kind of an expanded version of what you just got a taste of here. Because all of it came from those scriptures and probably a number of other scriptures that I'm not even aware of where it came from. But those specifically, each week, I'm giving you those verses. Here's some things that went into my study and that went into my heart that came out of my mouth on Sunday morning. And here's where it came from. John 15, that whole idea, I am the vine and you are the branches. Anyone who remains in me, you're going to bear much fruit. Apart from me, you bear nothing. It's the about thee tree. It's the vine and the branches and bearing fruit. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus visits Jesus. And this we talked about on Easter Sunday this year. He was a Pharisee who first made his appearance in John's gospel in chapter 3. And it was a hidden, private visit. But we see at the end of the gospel that Nicodemus is one of the men who pulled Jesus' body off the cross and prepare him for burial. A very public display of his allegiance. One little tidbit of that, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a teacher of the law. He was one of these guys that we've been talking about this series. See, Nicodemus' story is a story of change. And I think that's what I like most about his story, because we get a chance to see a little bit of where he is at the beginning, and we get a chance to see a little bit of where he is at the end, and change happens. His visit in John chapter 3, in his visit there, Jesus is disappointed with Nicodemus because he is a teacher of the law, he is a Pharisee, and yet he does not understand the ways of God. This has been a tough series for us all. It has. I told you it would be when we got started. Woe is me. But like the story of Nicodemus, we need to follow our woe is me moments. Times when we understand that we're doing things that are disappointing to God. And we get a chance to write the rest of that story. Is it going to be a story of change? Or is it going to be a story where we just stay stagnant? Nicodemus was a story of change. And a lot of us may look like Nicodemus in chapter 3. We appear on the outside to know God. We go to church. We have bumper stickers. We've got a 365-day scripture calendar on our desk at work. But really, on the inside, we don't know God's ways because we don't know God. And it shows in our fruit. And my question this morning is, wouldn't it be better to come to grips with this right now, right here today, instead of years down the road when we realize then, man, I could have been serving all these years if I'd have just gotten it together, if I'd have climbed out of the me tree, but way back then. And wouldn't it be better to come to grips with this now? And it's not an easy topic. It's a tough topic. And it's something that every one of us would approach it and say, that's not me. That's not me at all. But man, we got to examine ourselves. We got to look at the fruit. What fruit's on your tree? Because that exposes the roots. The fruit tells the roots. Without you even having to dig underneath the surface. Wouldn't it be better if we just humbled ourselves and realized that things are wrong and that we need to change, like Nicodemus did? Wouldn't it be better sooner than later? I mean, if you really live in this way and you really don't know God, even though you've deceived yourselves into thinking that you do, wouldn't it be better to just realize it now? Especially instead of standing before Him someday. And I'm not even talking about this being a salvation issue as far as knowing God or not knowing God for your salvation. I'm talking about Christians here who know enough of God to accept His salvation. Know enough of God's Word to obey enough to receive that. But then you stopped. You said, you know what? That's the end. I mean, I got baptized. Isn't that what it's all about? Just to get baptized? I got baptized. Now I'm done. I'm good. Sealed. Can't argue with you. Yeah, you're probably going to heaven. But what good are you here? What good are you for the kingdom if that's where you stopped? And really, the purpose of the cross, the purpose of Jesus Christ, was so that we could know God, so we could have a relationship with Him. And if that stopped at baptism or soon after your baptism, and we need a woe is me moment now to wake us up. Nicodemus thought that he knew God's ways because the rules and regulations he lived by, he created in himself a false reality that he really did know God. Could that be just where you are today? You followed God's commandments, but your existence is simply religious. It's based on rules and regulations, and the reality is, the truth is, that you really just don't know God. Could that be you? Because if so, it shows on the tree on the left side of your bulletin. Because if you really knew God, if you really know God, then you wouldn't be able to hide it. You wouldn't be able to keep it to yourself. Because it would show. It would show through your love. It would show through your excitement about your freedom. It would show through the way that you treat other people. It would show by your humility. It would show just simply because you'd be alive and there'd be something different about you. If you really knew God, it would show. If you know, it shows. If you don't know, it doesn't show. I'm asking you this morning, Christians, those of you who know God or at least claim to know God, we need to have a woe is me moment and really revisit that and get serious about that. And during this next song, I want to ask the musicians to go on, come on up. During this next song, reflect on that and reflect on, you know what? Do I really, really have an intimate relationship with God? Do I really know who He is? And talk to God about that. Because guys, there's some things coming. Next series, we're just shifting gears. And you think this series has been a deep digging, purging series. Next series is a series from Craig Rochelle that just threw me on the floor, threw me to my knees. And when we decided this year was going to be about getting real, I said, this is the year to bring out Practical Atheist. It's a strong series. And it hit me hard, and I'm excited to be able to share it with all you guys, because it took me from a point of seeing things one way to a point of seeing things a different way that opened up a whole new level of being able to be more for the kingdom. So we're still, but this is all one big thing this year, because next year is about being the church. We got to take care of business now, because this church is about to take off, and I'm excited about that. We've had growth this year. And it's just going to keep going.